Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking to Italy as the nation counts down towards a general election next weekend. Our panel will explore the key narratives, economic and political, at play ahead of the vote and take a broader look at how this fits into the bigger European picture and the context of how recent elections across the bloc have gone. As well as gauging the economic performance of Italy ahead of the poll, we'll also hear our experts' views on the most likely political outcomes and hear what they will mean for the country and indeed for Europe and the wider world. We start with Themis Themistocleous, head of the European Investment Office at UBS Wealth Management. Themis, perhaps you can remind us, first of all, how this fits into the bigger European picture, how recent elections have turned out. I guess we've seen populist parties, whether in the Netherlands, in France, in Germany, making gains in terms of vote share, if not actually getting into office.
What we have seen in the elections is that the populist parties actually increase their support within the population. So what hasn't materialized is the worst case scenario. So these parties didn't end up in government in France, in Netherlands, in Germany. And in some ways, we do see the same in Italy. The Five Star Movement could quite easily be the biggest party within the Italian political landscape. But the possibility of them ending up in government is, I would argue, reasonably low.
Riccardo Garcia is head of European macroeconomics in the UBS Wealth Management CIO in Zurich. Riccardo, the story of last year in European elections was, as we've been hearing, rather that populist movements and parties were growing their support, if not getting into government. How's that narrative shifted since, and how does it set up the Italian vote next weekend?
I think in the meantime, populist parties have had some key lessons that they learned from the elections last year, which is that they had basically to give away this claim about leaving the Eurozone, you know, like doing referenda on Eurozone membership and so forth. An example is France, where it didn't work for Front National. And as a consequence, in Italy, we have seen that the parties also have moved away from this position, which is very important because that will be the most important thing that investors would mind in the Italian elections, keeping in mind that Italy boasts the fifth largest bond market in the world, right? So there are big stakes there. But from this perspective, the situation has been deflated somewhat.
Matteo Ramenghi, your Chief Investment Officer in UBS Wealth Management Italy. Matteo, if we're talking about Euroscepticism, how's that narrative playing? What's the story in Italy?
We've got two different competing populism in Italy. One is focused on immigration, and this has the reference in Lega. Lega, if we go back a year or a couple of years, they were seeking a referendum on the euro, but they made backpedaling on that. So they want to stay in the euro at the moment. They still want to have a harder stance with the European Union with regards to the fiscal policy. If we look at the Five Star Movement, they never had a very clear idea on whether to stay in the euro or not, but now they have decided they want to remain part of the euro. So the risk of a breakthrough of a euro referendum has virtually gone to zero. The Five Star Movement also is seeking some more flexible fiscal policy, but we should keep in mind that they are not available to any alliance, so they're quite unlikely to be part of any future government. And also, what is reassuring is that the Five Star Movement and Lega have a very poor relationship with one another, which makes it very difficult for them to join forces in the future.
Well, Themis Themistocleous, if we look to Italy, what's on the cards and how are you and your colleagues gauging this? Because I guess a lot of the speculation and predictions is looking at what we're used to in Italy, potentially hung parliaments or looser coalitions, maybe a right-wing coalition in this case. What are you planning around?
We're not dissimilar to that. When we think about elections, obviously, we think about also ultimately impact on the economy and impact on the markets. So you can look at the worst case outcome. Could we have a situation that one of the populist parties, Five Star Movement, for example, ends up in government, and then would they then decide to call a referendum on a membership of the euro? Would that then destabilize Eurozone, right? So this is the worst-case scenario, and there we think is a reasonably low probability because Five Star Movement doesn't want to work with anybody else, and nobody else wants to work with the Five Star Movement. And the polls tells us that they might end up being the biggest party, but they're unlikely to be big enough to just govern by themselves. And then you have the different blocs. Democratic Party lost some support, so by themselves they cannot get majority. Even with the left-wing parties, if they form a coalition, they still don't get up to majority. The same happens with the central right-center part of the political spectrum, which again, a coalition there still falls short of majority, although they're a little bit closer to majority than the left. The way we look at it, the more likely scenario is that it's got to be some centrist coalition, most probably, and it can be governed by the current prime minister, or it can be a technocrat that ends up being the prime minister. That obviously would depend to some degree on the actual results of the elections. But you're right that the political landscape is very fragmented, and it's very difficult to see one bloc becoming the majority. They can try and govern as a minority coalition, but then it's not likely that it's going to last, in which case we have another election.
So Matteo Ramenghi, ahead of next week's poll, what's the base case for you and your colleagues?
If we look at the latest polls, we can see that there has been further decline for the Democratic Party, which is leading the government at the moment. And Forza Italia, which is on the center-right, has been gaining ground. But even with that, if we look at the polls, the center-right does not have sufficient votes to form a government. We have got center-left at 27%, center-right at 37%, and the five-star movement in the middle, which means that, in our opinion, nobody claims victory on the 5th of March morning. And therefore, we are looking at a hung parliament quite likely, and probably to some form of grand coalition in a few months to come.
What are the stakes for Italy and Europe, and how do we expect the political dice to roll? Quentin Peel, former Berlin bureau chief and correspondent at the Financial Times, what do you make of it?
It is hugely important, but we really can't calculate what the outcome's going to be. It looks as if it's going to be a hung parliament. It looks as if nobody's going to come out. Berlusconi has got an alliance of centre-right and right-wing forces, his Forza Italia, the even more right-wing and anti-immigrant Lega Nord, and the former, the inheritors of the Mussolini mantle, the Brothers of Italy. Between them, they could end up as the biggest group. But the biggest single party is going to be the rebels, the Five Star Movement, who are also anti-Europe and anti-immigration, but basically anti-Rome and anti-the-establishment. And they've always said they won't do a coalition with anybody else, so maybe they'll come out as the largest party and nobody will have them in government. And then you've got the centre-left, who are still in government now, who might end up almost as being an acceptable head of, you know, Paolo Gentiloni, who's the present prime minister, might come back at the head of, guess what, a grand coalition, a bit like the Germans.
It is interesting to reflect on the economic data, as you've done already, Ricardo Garcia. So how best to sum up the overall economic situation and performance? I guess the big picture is that Italy is, well, really not doing too badly at all.
Yes, absolutely. Italy is riding the European wave. We have a very strong growth currently in Europe. We have 2.4% growth for the Eurozone in 2018. This is way above trade growth rate. And as a result, almost all countries are growing above their potential this year, including Italy, where the potential trade growth rate is significantly lower than the Eurozone average. So from this perspective, 1.5% growth in Italy is quite good. But the issue a little bit here is that although things are fine for now, the reform momentum has gone down in Italy. So we saw a really strong push at the beginning of the Renzi area. And that has basically vanished after the referendum last year. And the hope is that the new elections will trigger a new reform momentum. However, we are here a bit skeptical because parties so far have basically profiled themselves by populist demands, like, partly withdrawing or totally withdrawing the pension reform, the Fornero pension reform, these kind of claims, and that obviously will be steps back. No? But these are not really big issues for this and next year, but rather strategic issues for the medium to long term. No? But we think that at the end of the day, most of the things that have been claimed won't be implemented, at least not in the form that they are campaigning with. I think there's a lot of politics to get more votes on election day.
Themistocleous, what about the economic landscape more broadly? The model, its performance, what's the prevailing view about how Italy's doing, Themis?
Italy's actually doing reasonably well, especially by Italian standards, right? I mean, Italy never grows very fast, but the reality is the economy is clearly doing better and they have built some momentum. So, but clearly longer term, they need to also reform the economy to add some speed to that growth. But basically, if we look at the full year, last year growth was close to 1.5%, which is, by the way, the fastest we've seen in the last 7 years for Italy. If they want to accelerate that growth, they will need some reforms. And for reforms, you most probably need a reasonably strong government or a very broad coalition. But a very, very broad coalition, then when it comes to action, then everybody pulls in different directions. And sometimes it's difficult to agree on what needs to be done.
Matteo, back to you. I guess another thing that has changed significantly, just over the last couple of years, is the fact that we are in this more benign economic environment, and in fact, quite a positive economic growth environment. How would you sum up Italy's general performance?
The recovery in Italy is fresher than in the rest of the Eurozone, because Italy had its own issues to deal with. The 2017 was a year of positive surprises for the Italian economy. And this trend is broadly continuing this year. The economy has stabilized, growth has been resumed. The exports have always remained strong, even in the crisis, but now domestic demand has finally picked up as well, and we see the unemployment going down. So I would definitely agree Italy is also riding the Eurozone recovery.
Finally on the programme, Riccardo Garcia, if we do talk about a potential change in government, for example, from a socialist party to a centrist party, that could have a wider bearing, not just in Italy, but across the bloc, right?
Because if you change from the socialist party under Gentiloni to, for example, Forza Italia from Berlusconi, the head of state would likely also change to a conservative head of state. And then Italy could start to support, for example, a German candidate. You know that Spain and Germany, they are both part of the European People's Party. And if Italy would also move towards the European People's Party, then this would be a big shift, no? Because the decision about the ECB presidency next year is based on the share of population and the... And Italy obviously is one of the largest countries in terms of population in the Eurozone. So, it will not only have consequences for the Italian politics, but also for European politics if we get a shift to Forza Italia.
And I'd like to ask you, Matteo Ramenghi, given all we've heard, what keeps both the Eurozone and also the markets happy? What do they need to be reassured about regarding ongoing political and economic stability?
Political fragmentation in most of the largest countries. We've seen it in Germany, the Netherlands, and Spain as well. But ultimately, we have seen that pro-business and pro-European governments have emerged. And if we look specifically at Italy, you've got two parties which could be considered populist, the Five Star Movement and the Lega. But both of them actually have become less and less Eurosceptic. They don't want to do a Euro referendum anymore. In fact, to be clear, they would be against the constitution, so it was always impossible. But of course, the threat of a euro referendum was enough to push investors away. But they have been now made a U-turn on that front. So the risk of an unpleasant outcome from the Italian elections has declined, and that took away some drama from the Italian elections.
And let's conclude by considering what changes in the global and European economy, indeed, in the last, year or two might have made. What difference does that make politically, Themis Themistocleous?
Clearly, we always look at these elections because they are potentially a risk to the economy and by extension, a risk to the market. And I think where we are today is very, very different to where we were a couple of years ago. The global economy is a lot stronger. The European economy is a lot stronger. Even the Italian economy is a lot stronger. So political risk clearly becomes less of an issue in a very robust economic environment than in a very fragile one. And that makes quite a big difference for us. And actually, we're quite constructive on the markets because we think this acceleration in global economic growth is still quite positive for the markets in general. And clearly, that also provides less of a trigger in terms of volatility. Although, having said that, the other thing we also relevant here is we have seen quite a bit of increase in volatility in the last 2 or 3 weeks. We got spoiled over the last year with very little volatility. And the question, I suppose, when it comes up to the Italian elections, if the market is a bit more jumpy, if we get results that are a little bit more worrying, would that have a bigger impact on the market? I still think net-net, the economy is a lot more important. So while the economy is quite strong and the worst-case outcome, which is a possibility of a party pulling Italy out of the euro and eurozone, the rest of it, I think, the market would take on its stride.
And that's Themis Themistocleous bringing us to the end of this 177th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.